Put yourself in your child's shoes and imagine having to pack up your bag every 2 days. You need all of your things. If you're school age, you need your Chromebook, you need your folders, you need your after school sports equipment. And if you're 7, 8 years old, even if you're 9, 10, 11, that is a lot. You're gonna have your kid coming back a hot mess because it's hard. Change is hard, and going from one home to the next and readjusting is a lot, just physically, emotionally, and mentally. So let your kid have the time, have the space. I compare it to having jet lag. When you get back from your trip, think about how you feel. You're exhausted, you're overwhelmed, you're trying to adjust. So what do? You give yourself time and space, and you give yourself permission to adjust. So it's the same for your children. You need to give them that time, that space, and permission to adjust.
Hey, welcome to the WTF Divorce Podcast. My name is Rob Roseman. On this show, we talk about everything divorce, whether you're thinking about divorce, going through it, or figuring out life after. Divorce, co-parenting, dating. We cover it all and break it into short clips so it's easy for you to find and learn from. If you want more help, head on over to WTFdivorce.com. Thanks for listening. On to today's show. Real quick, let's talk about today's sponsor. The WTF Divorce Podcast is sponsored by Our Family Wizard. If you're a co-parent, you know how frustrating it can be constantly going back and forth with your ex about the kids, schedule, and expenses. Our Family Wizard helps keep everything organized in one app, making co-parenting communication less stressful. More about how Our Family Wizard can help in a few minutes, but now on to today's show. All right, welcome to the WTF Divorce Podcast. Today we are lucky to be joined by Elle Barr. Elle is a family law attorney. She is a guardian ad litem, and she is the education coordinator for Our Family Wizard. Thanks for being here today, Elle.
Thank you for having me, Rob. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yes, I like that you cover all the bases, so you have a lot of expertise and you can answer a lot of the questions that we get are about co-parenting, and some people are using Our Family Wizard. Some people are brand new to divorce, so they never even heard of those things. So hopefully we can answer a few of their questions here today and help some people out. All right, first question we have here. Why do judges believe 50-50 is best?
Now, this comes up a lot. This is a myth. Judges do not believe that 50-50 is always best. Custody decisions are complex and multifaceted. There is no one size fits all. That does not exist. And I've said this before, and I compare it to comfies that you get for your kids for the holidays, and everyone wears the same comfy. Maybe it's a different color, but it's all the same size. It's not like that for parenting schedules. Custody decisions, they need to serve the children's health, their safety, their welfare, needs to meet all of their needs. So the best co-parenting schedules are really schedules that take into consideration all of the needs of the children and the family. What we see judges doing, they're not just throwing out, oh, well, you know, we've got Joe Schmo here. Yep, it's gonna be a 50-50 again. Should I do the 2-2-3 on this one or the 2-5-5-2? It's not how it works. So what judges use, they use a best interest standard. It's called the best interest of the child standard. And every state has a statute that spells out a list of factors that the judges must consider when deciding what's in the child's best interest. So where I practice in Pennsylvania, our best interest statute has 16 factors. So the judge will go through all 16 of those factors before making a decision with respect to custody. And just to throw out some of the most common factors that the judges, they'll go through all of them, but what they weigh the most typically, first would be each parent's ability to meet the needs of their children. And by needs of the children, I mean the educational, the medical, the mental health, any other need, any special needs. If you've got a child with you know, a special medical condition, or a child with special educational needs who has an IEP, or a child who has a 504 plan, or a neurodiverse child, all of that's taken into consideration. The court will also consider the parent's role in the day-to-day care of the child. So who's picking up the child, you know, from school, who's doing homework with the child, who's taking the child to the extracurriculars, who's making dinner, who's serving dinner, cleaning up dinner, doing the laundry, putting the child to bed, getting the child's backpack ready, signing the agenda, making sure the homework's put in, the lunch is packed, they're ready to go for the next day. All of that is being considered by the court. The court is also taking a look at which parent has the most availability or has the ability to make proper childcare arrangements for the child. In addition to all of that, the court is also considering the relationship between the two parents and the level of conflict between the parents. Are they communicating? Are they cooperating? Are they able to compromise with each other? Maybe there's just one parent who could do the three C's and the other parent cannot. The court is also going to consider the mental health of each parent. They're going to consider whether or not the parent has a substance abuse issue. Is there one parent who's an alcoholic? Is there a parent who's using illegal substances? They're going to take a look at the history of abuse. Has there been any, you know, child abuse or neglect? Has there been domestic violence? Has there been intimate partner violence? And then finally, and what, as a GAL, what I find to be the most important factor is the preference of the child, and most especially, most importantly, if the child is older and that child can form a well-reasoned preference, that well-reasoned preference is going to have great weight on the decision that the judge will make. So is it always going to be 50-50? Is 50-50 always best? No, absolutely not. Courts are generally going to, you know, lean towards shared custody arrangements, but it could be 60-40, it could be 70-30, it could be 80-20. They're going to do what aligns with the best interests of the child, and they're going to make a determination based on whether the parents are fit and capable and available to meet those needs.
It's interesting. And when you rattle off all those things, you think, oh, wow, that is a lot of responsibility. And it's I'm sure it's stereotyping a bit, but I'm sure a lot of women listening to this say, well, I do all of those things. He didn't do any of those things when I was doing it. How could he possibly handle 50-50? I should be doing 90-10. Does it translate like that when it comes to making the decision?
It does not. No, because the court is also going to take into the arrangements that the other parent can make. Are there supports available? Are there extended family members who are there to help? You know, I give the example sometimes, you know, dad's a heart surgeon and mom was a stay-at-home mom. So yeah, mom was the one who did everything. But is dad now able to get an au pair and a nanny and a driver? And does dad have his mom and dad around? So you got grandma and grandpa there, and there's aunts and uncles, and there's tons of family support. So can dad swing a 50-50? Is dad going to be able to do it? So the court's going to then go through those 16 factors. And when it comes to, yeah, mom was the one who typically who always did it, but can dad do it? Is he capable of doing it with the help and support? And if that's a yes, then that's going to weigh for that factor.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it, because I think we all have our own biases about what we can handle, what they can or cannot handle, but there's a lot more that goes into it when this decision is made. Next question. Is it unreasonable for me to say no to a 2-2-3 schedule when he works the night shift? And maybe you can explain to people listening what a 2-2-3 schedule is.
So to answer the first question, is it reasonable for me to say no to a 2-2-3 when my co-parent works the night shift? Yes, it is. Absolutely. 100%, without a doubt, reasonable and logical to say no to a 2-2-3 parenting schedule when one parent works the night shift. And to explain what a 2-2-3 is, a 2-2-3 is a type of 50-50 custody schedule. It's where the first parent has the children for 2 days, and then the second parent gets the children for 2 days, and then the children go back to the first parent for 3 days. It is a schedule where there are many exchanges. There are 3 exchanges per week, and those exchanges generally happen during the school week. So they'll happen on a Monday, a Wednesday, and Friday. So a 2-2-3 parenting schedule, it's great. It's great for little ones but you have to take into consideration where the parents live, what their employment is, their level of conflict, if they're able to communicate and if they can cooperate. So parents with young children, if they can communicate effectively, if they're able to have a cooperative relationship, they have flexibility and they live within close proximity to one another, this could work. A 2-2-3 for a parent working the night shift is not going to work. This is not the right schedule. So if a parent is working the night shift, there's a lot of questions that come up, you know, starting with who's going to pick the kid up in the evening after their extracurricular activity? Who's going to give the child dinner? Who's going to do homework with the child? Who's going to get the backpack ready for the next day? Who's going to be plugging in that laptop if you have a little one and they have to bring their Chromebook to school the next day, getting the lunch packed if you have a little one? You know, so age is going to come into consideration. Also, 2-2-3 generally does not work well for children over 5 or 6. Once they get into elementary school, it's too many exchanges. It doesn't work for older children. It's too inconsistent. So with the little ones, yeah, they're going to need all that hands-on. Who's giving them a bath? Who's getting them into their PJs? Who's reading them their goodnight story for bed? Who's laying with them in bed until they fall asleep? Who's going to be there all night? If you're working the night shift, you're not there. You're not at the house. Who's going to be with the child? So there's a lot of other options that this parent can consider. You know, there's the 3-4 schedule. So if the parent works the night shift 4 nights a week, you got 3 other nights where that parent could be available. So the 3-4 schedule sometimes works really well for those families. There's other options as well, but the 2-2-3, it's a hard no. That is not a good schedule, and it is 100% reasonable to say no to that.
And if you do agree to that when you're finalizing the divorce, are you held to it? Do you have to go back to court to get that changed?
If you agree, it's like signing a contract. When you give your Johnny Hancock and you say, yeah, you know, here's our marital settlement agreement, here's our parenting schedule, we're going to do the 2-2-3. And if you don't have any other language in your marital settlement agreement about changing, modifying the schedule, you know, upon agreement or going to mediation, you could add paragraphs. And most attorneys will encourage their clients to add paragraphs because they know. They know when the kids are 2 or 3 years old, if you're getting divorced when you have toddlers, things are going to change once they become school age and then when they become teenagers. So they include provisions that allow for modifications or even doing, you know, a 2-3 year check-in to see where you are, to see if this is the right fit, if this is the best parenting schedule for you and for the kids. But yeah, as soon as you sign it, you submit it to the court, it is incorporated into your divorce decree. Done. You are bound by that. It's like signing a contract for anything else.
So that is a little daunting. So make sure you know what you're doing, but also, I guess, make sure your attorney writes in language that you can make modifications if and when schedule needs arise. Next question. Co-parent keeps asking to switch schedules. Do I constantly have to change?
And this comes up all the time. And the answer to that right away is no. You do not need to constantly change your parenting schedule. Occasional changes, that is to be expected. And what we have now on the Our Family Wizard platform is a right to first refusal tool, because it is so common. The right to first refusal is a legal term. It's incorporated into the majority of marital settlement agreements. It gives the parent the opportunity, the right to first refusal when their co-parent is unavailable to care for the children for a certain period of time, whether it's 12 hours, 24 hours, whatever they agree upon, they get that first right to have the kids and to have the children in their care. It's their opportunity. So what we know is we're human. We are all living our busy lives, rushing our kids around, working jobs, you know, enjoying things that we want to take part in, our hobbies, our friends, and there could always be a last minute business trip, or there could, God forbid, be a death or a family emergency or something unplanned or something unpredictable. Anything could happen that would require a co-parent to need to request a temporary modification of the parenting schedule. So that is to be expected. That's part of co-parenting. It's part of life. Things happen. The problem is when a co-parent is constantly and frequently requesting that change, that parenting modification. So what we know and what we see is that the family routine, the stability, the consistency, the things that help the families when they're going through a divorce or separation become seriously disrupted. It's the routine, the expectation, and this is not good. This is stressful. This can become toxic for children and for co-parents. So it's an unfair situation. It's unfair for everyone involved, and you do not need to constantly change the parenting schedule to accommodate your co-parent. And I will also add that when this is happening, and what I have seen over the years is that when there are frequent parenting schedule modification requests being made, what we know is this is an indication that that originally agreed upon parenting schedule. So let's say you made this agreement back in 2015 and your kids were 2 and 4 years old and you agreed to the 2-2-3. So that original parenting schedule, it is just not the right fit for your family anymore. So if your co-parent keeps asking you to switch schedules, it is a very good time to update your parenting plan, come back to the table, talk about what is, what isn't working, and to do what's best for your children and for your family.
And this is where it's so important to learn how to communicate this in a way that, you know, it will be received better by your co-parent, because if you're screaming, no, I'm not going to change, they're probably not going to be so receptive. But using a tool like Our Family Wizard, coming in with some empathy, it seems like the schedule is not really working for either of us. What can we do? How can we work together to make this easier? It's going to be a lot more constructive than just, you know, yelling back, thumbs downing those text messages that come in.
Right. And the tool that we have on the platform, what's really nice about it is that parents forget that they are making requests. You know, life takes over, things get busy, and they didn't realize that they have already, you know, it's the second week of May, and they've already made 3 parenting modification requests. But, you know, in their head, they're like, oh, I just made like a request last week. It was no big deal. But on the platform, it's keeping track of request after request after request. So sometimes the parent needs, you know, to do a little check-in and take a look at that. So if they're pulling attorneys and it's becoming high conflict and they're not, you know, able to come to the table, they could have that documentation there. And, you know, it could be really helpful to see, oh, wow, you know, in the past 6 months, I've made 37 parenting modification requests. Okay, it is time for a change. We need to sit down and talk about this.
Yeah, that is so important. I always think, what did people do before cell phones, Our Family Wizard, co-parenting? It was either much harder or much easier. I can't decide. Let's do one more question here. My kid comes back a mess every week. It's awful. Any strategies for resetting?
And this is something I hear all the time. As a court-appointed guardian ad litem, I get calls and text messages and emails with that exact same verbiage. My kid is a mess, or my kid is a hot mess. So exchanges and changes are hard. Imagine having a pack, if you're doing a 2-2-3, imagine you're, you know, put yourself in your child's shoes and imagine having to pack up your bag every 2 days. You need all of your things. If you're school age, you need your Chromebook, you need your folders, you need your agenda, you need your after school sports equipment. You need everything, you know, possible for whatever play date or in addition to your extracurricular activities you have going on. And if you're 7, 8 years old, even if you're 9, 10, 11, that is a lot. So we see with the school age kids from kindergarten, even through middle school, if they're doing a 2-2-3 and even sometimes the 2-5-5-2, it is a lot. So by end of middle school, we see a lot of families switching to week on, week off to make things more manageable. But at the same time, when the kids are little, they need the time with both parents. They need the frequent contact. So yeah, you're going to have your kid coming back a hot mess because it's hard. Change is hard. And going from one home to the next and readjusting is a lot, just physically, emotionally, and mentally. So let your kid have the time. have the space. I compare it to having jet lag. Imagine coming back from Europe and you've just traveled for, you know, 5 days, 7 days. You change time zones. You're hopping around from hotels. You're traveling. When you get back from your trip, think about how you feel. You're exhausted. You're overwhelmed. You're trying to adjust. So what do? You give yourself time and space, and you give yourself permission to adjust. So it's the same for your children. You need to give them that time, that space, and permission to adjust.
Yeah, it's a great call a lot of times, especially with after school and activities. It's a lot, even if you're in a married setting, if you're switching houses, it really can be a lot. So I think that's a good lesson. Just take a break, empathize with them, maybe give them some time on their screens with a snack. We're not peppering them with questions because... yeah, we forget what it's like in their shoes. We know it's hard for us as parents, but, you know, equally hard for the kids as well. Well, thank you, Elle, for being on today. You can learn more about Our Family Wizard at www.ourfamilywizard.com. Elle, great seeing you. Appreciate you being on today.
Thank you for having me.
The WTF Divorce Podcast is sponsored by Our Family Wizard. If you're a co-parent, you know how frustrating it can be constantly going back and forth with your ex about the kids, schedules, and expenses. Our Family Wizard helps keep everything organized in one app, making co-parenting communication less stressful. Here's Maddie to explain how Our Family Wizard changed her co-parenting life.
Before Our Family Wizard, my co-parent and I were constantly arguing. We disagreed on the cost of our kids' activities. We would fight over whose turn it was to pick up our daughter from school. We had absolutely no boundaries. Our Family Wizard has not only improved communication between us, but it has also saved my sanity. We use the shared calendars, expense tracking, and secure messaging on a daily basis. The ability to coordinate and share important information, plus manage expenses, has stopped the confusion and the fighting. This allowed us to put all our focus back on just enjoying the quality time we have with our kids.
Join more than 1 million parents and family law professionals who trust Our Family Wizard. Go to www.ourfamilywizard.com/WTF and get free co-parenting tips and insights from family law and mental health experts. That's www.ourfamilywizard.com/WTF to get started today.